Thank you. I'm Seamus Archer. This talk was initially thought to be in a sidetrack tomorrow, and I wanted to do something simpler. The main focus for me was to get some feedback, so if you have any questions at any time, raise your hand, they will give you a mic, and hopefully I will be able to say something that makes sense. So the topic is directory services, and particularly interoperability between different directory services. Short introduction, what is a directory service for me? It consists of a way to centralize management of users, management of machines, control of some security settings, and also configuration management. Why I'm pointing out these four fields? Because in my experience, especially where in big enterprises, what happens is that often these four different characteristics are managed by different people. So you have management of users is basically done by HR. They enroll new users, they remove users based on whether you get into a company or get out. But part of this, part of the user management also happened through management of groups. And that's not just HR responsibility, also often responsibility of IT or other managers. So it's kind of delegated to a more organizational or structural view of the enterprise. That is the management of machines. What I mean by that, I mean joining machines to a directory so that are visible over the enterprise, installing, provisioning machines. This is usually a task done by IT, and then when the machines are ready and the basic configuration is done, these machines are then given to another group, usually, that actually use them, or directly to users if they are laptops or stations. Control of security settings is also, in many cases, delegated to another figure in the organization, the security officer, which basically create the policy for the enterprise and decides what are the guidelines and how to apply security policies to the enterprise. And finally, there is configuration management, and this is a huge mess. There is all sorts of things going in here. Low-level OS management, high-level applications management, and this is done by basically everybody. Everybody has something to configure in the enterprise, and if the enterprise uses the directory to manage the configuration, that means that everybody has something to do with it. So there are a lot of people that have to deal with something that we simply call directory services. And so one of the clear examples is Active Directory. And they have very good LDAP and Kerberos integration for the user management part. So over LDAP, they can create user groups, machines, et cetera, et cetera. And it was the first implementation that actually made it possible to bring Kerberos to the masses for real. I mean, lots and lots of people today use LDAP and Kerberos, and in most cases, they don't even know they're doing that. And I think that was a great success. They have, of course, excellent support for Windows machines. They are actually very tightly integrated, and all the management functions I described above are very well supported by Windows machines. There is support for Linux and Unix machines, both directly. They have the SFU services for Unix, also through third parties. Like Samba, we have WinBind that is used usually to join Unix Linux machines to Active Directory main controller, and there are other vendors that also offer similar capabilities. And they have very good configuration management for Windows machines. Group policies are also used for security management. There are other more advanced tools, but group policies, a lot of people are happy to do at least the basic stuff. So what we have instead on the Linux world, I come from a Linux vendor. So when I joined Red Hat, my experience has been mostly with Samba from the directory services point of view. Even Samba 3 I used with LDAP. And I was confronted with understanding what was going on the pure Linux Unix world. In that world, we have very good LDAP implementations, very good Kerberos implementations, very poor integration. Basically, end users have to do their own integration. And this is a task that basically made it very difficult to introduce both LDAP and Kerberos technologies in this world, because they are complex, difficult to understand, and if you have to do the integration yourself, you don't have a reference to follow. So you have to reinvent every time how you do this integration, where you keep the passwords. In the Kerberos database, or should we put them in LDAP and have a plugin in Kerberos to go for LDAP? All sorts of things that you have to solve over and over again in every place. Even if there are problems there, there's good support, of course, for Linux Unix machines. You can authenticate against LDAP, get users from LDAP, authenticate against Kerberos. The actual technology underneath, it works quite well. But there is, for example, no real support for Windows clients. This is not really a fault of this of the Linux Unix side. Windows clients tend to be quite picky in what they want to see. Basically, they just like only Active Directory and nothing else. And that's why in the Samba thing, we started it for many years ago to create a Samba Active Directory domain controller, because that's the only way to let Windows machine actually join another directory. There's also absolutely no integrated configuration management. But this is not, I don't see this actually as a bad thing. In the Linux world, we tend to prefer customized solution that solves just one problem. And in fact, we have things like Puppet, and I forgot to mention CF Engine, and others that are marvelous in managing Linux and Unix machines. They are just not integrated with the directory. There are some, again, some custom developments where you can put some data on LDAP, but again, the user is left to do the integration himself. So what are some of the problems I found in either space? As I mentioned initially, there are many people that have to deal with the directory services when you start basing your enterprise on that. And one of the main issues is ownership of the directory or the data itself. In some places, I found, for example, that the Unix world, the Linux world, didn't want to use Active Directory for the simple reason that they had no access to the directory. They had no way to control it, and they wanted to control the main mechanism by which their machines perform authentication. Or they couldn't put into the directory exactly the data they wanted because another group prevented them from doing that. So although having a single directory is actually a very good idea because you can centralize all the stuff, it also causes problems when different groups have different goals in mind. This problem is exacerbated by the semantic mismatches between the EOSs. If you join a Windows machine to Active Directory, there is absolutely no mismatch because Active Directory is built for Windows machines. But when you try to join a Unix machine to a Windows directory, you find that users do not have all the data they want. For example, by default, they don't have UIDs, GIDs, they don't have a home directory, they don't have a shell, so you have to add the services for Unix, or you have to have WinBind that generates this information automatically. And in general, there is a mismatch between what different devices want to see from the directory. Also, custom extensions and data. Active Directory, in some cases, is very rigid. Most administrators I found on the field didn't even want to hear about extending the schema, something that people fear, sometimes out of lack of knowledge. They don't know very well the LDAP technologies underneath, so changing the schema for them is a risk. And while other people really want to add different fields, to be able to use the data in other applications that require additional information attached to user objects, machine objects, etc. And finally, configuration management for different ISVs is also a tragedy at this point. Not only do you have mismatches between what ISVs expect, you also have vastly different ways to manage configuration of different ISVs. Windows has the registry, intergroup policy, you can easily change that. On Unix, Linux, you have configuration files most of the case. Every application has its own configuration file, different formats, different way to determine how machines should get some information or how to change its configuration files. Although group policy can help in some cases, it is kind of difficult to use for admins that are used to just the Unix command line and Unix tools, because it's a kind of a foreign way of dealing with configuration, and they don't understand it very well. So this is why now I think more than 3 years ago when I joined Red Hat, I had to come up with something that we could use for solving the problem of having a decent directory service for Linux users that didn't necessarily involve using Active Directory. A lot of our customers have huge farms of Red Hat machines and have absolutely no Windows Server. So for them, trying to go and use Active Directory just to manage the users was a huge mismatch. They had no Windows Server, they have no experience with Windows, they have no people that understand it, and so they didn't see why they should try to use something so foreign. At the same time, though, they had a lot of pressure, either from regulation in some countries like the USA, or simply because of rationalizations wanted into enterprise, to try and have a unique source, at least of user accounts, so that they could be held accountable of who's using what, who has access to all the machines, a central way to do basically user management. So we came up with this project. It's called Free IPA. IPA is in the beer, right? But IPA means Identity Policy and Audit, which is what reflects the 4 points I was talking about. Identity includes both user identity and machine identities. Policy has to deal mostly with security, but also authentication, configuration, and auditing, which is not strictly there, but it's a fundamental piece where you want to know what's going on. Auditing was one of the initial thing that was really interesting for us, although we didn't really implement it yet. So we decided to use a directory server. It's called today 389 directory server. When I started, it was called Fedora directory server. And when it was embedded in Red Hat Enterprise, it was called Red Hat Directory Server. It's the same thing, and it's the fourth name for what was called Netscape Directory Server. So changing some names, the code base is basically the same. It's not open LDAP. And the reason why we chose that is that it has multi-master replication, has had that since many years, and that was one of the core requirement for us to be able to build directory services for bigger enterprises. We chose MIT Kerberos for authentication. Not only Active Directory proved that Kerberos can be used widely, it's also a very strong authentication mechanism, at least for a closed system, meaning an enterprise and its network. And so that was chosen. NTP IEC bind is the DNS server. And we manage it through a user interface that we built on top and command line tools. And we are coming to see why Free IPA is important in this talk. As soon as we had something that could work, we immediately got a question from other customers that were interested in it, but also had an ID domain. It asked us, yes, it's interesting, but we want to have a way to interoperate between the two directory services. because the Windows side of the enterprise has AD and they're happy with it. We would like to go with, you know, a native directory for our Linux machines, but we need a way for the two sides to communicate. We need a way for users in the Windows domain to be able to access machines in the Linux domain, basically. How do we do that? So immediately we used these WinSync pass sync plugins that were developed for directory server, and we will see what they do. But that wasn't sufficient. So we started immediately also investigating how do we integrate, how we do we better make these two worlds talk. And of course, Samba was the immediate thing that came to mind. Samba has done a lot of work in integration space. It allows you to use Unix machine into a Windows domain. It allows you to talk to Windows clients, allow Windows clients to access the file, so it was the natural choice. So let me go a bit into what are the integration strategies that we had to go through and analyze to understand what was the best way to bring this functionality to our users. The first one, and which is what we use, is replicate the users between AD and LDAP. A lot of vendors does this. They just take some plugin into AD or in their directory server, and they basically just replicate all the user information, group information, machine information. And so basically what you have is a replication of all the identities in two places. Another strategy that we pursued for almost a year is Samba 4 on top of your LDAP server. Many users use the Samba plus LDAP already. Some others had their own LDAP server already. They just wanted to have more integration. And so one of the things was, why don't we just put Samba 4 on top of that so that they don't have to change anything. They just have to drop this component on top, and immediately they are able to talk with the other side. And finally, another way to solve the problem is just to go through a trust relationship. AD supports MIT Kerberos Trust natively, at least supported in Windows 2000. But we will see that's not really quite enough. It has many drawbacks. So let me talk about why we went through all of these three possibilities and why some of them don't work. So replicating identities. This was a low-hanging fruit. We didn't have to code anything new. So it was natural to just try to use it in the first place. But replicating identities is a very poor solution. It can work. In some cases, it's just good enough. But in many cases, it has issues. One of them is synchronization issues. We couldn't use native replication protocols because nobody had still developed them. When we started, Samba 4 was still not able to do any real replication. I'm not even sure that Vampire worked correctly at the time, 3 years ago.
Sometimes.
Yeah. In any case, it wasn't a viable solution to have something out in a month or two. The other problem is conflict. So we have a way to do a sort of replication. The way we do it is that we basically keep querying the LDAP server, the AD LDAP server, and when there are changes, we import them in our tree. And likewise, when our replication in our tree shows that some of the user entries, group entries have changed, that we try to push a change in Active Directory by doing a simple LDAP operation with enough credentials to do that change. But when there are conflicts, when something changes in the AD side and something changes on the Unix side and that is not immediately reconcilable, you have problems. You may have something that doesn't replicate on the other side, or even worse, although we try to avoid it as much as possible, In some cases, we had problems where a change was replicated on the other side, but the other side, when it saw the change, changed something else and replicated it back. And we saw the change and changed something else and replicated it back. And it saw the change and changed something else and replicated it back. And the loop started going on. And that's very bad because basically keep busy, both directories doing nothing. They just react to a change, changing something else, and that causes a change again on the other side. And it's just a loop that doesn't mean anything. It's just an artifact of the way replication is working there because there is no one-to-one mapping of everything. This happened to us, for example, with the account lookout. We had a problem at some point where you would try to change the password against one of the two directories, the user got locked out, the account lookout went to the other side unlocked the user for some reason. And so the change again replicated back to the other side, which unlocked the user. But what caused the account lookout made the other side again lock the account in again. Oops. And this account was literally going on and on, locked, unlocked, and the users were going to be crazy. And the other big problem is single point of failure. It's already difficult enough to try to keep this stuff in sync without also trying to have multiple masters talk to multiple masters. So what is done usually is that just one master talk with one master on the other side and let the internal replication replicate the changes. But that means that when that single master on either side goes down, there is no replication from one side to the other side. And so this is also a big issue if you want to use this in production, because when that master goes down, that link goes down, you can't see replication going on. So if you change a password on one side, that password change is not replicated on the other side immediately. You have to wait until both of the masters that deal with the replication between the two domains are up. Another big problem we found was that although synchronizing users was just fine, most people didn't want the groups replicated because the groups in the Windows side didn't make any sense for the people on the Unix side. They just wanted different groupings. And also, there was a problem, nested groups are something that are not really supported on the Unix side, so if you use nested groups on the Windows side and then you replicate the groups on the other side, the membership are not exactly the same. And what about foreign groups? What if the Windows domain has a trust relationship with other domains? Groups was quite a big problem, so we didn't replicate them. And of course, as soon as we decided to not replicate them, some other customer came up and said, well, you know, we really want those groups. So this was another big problem. And finally, authentication. Currently, when you use Kerberos, people expect that as soon as you log into the system, then you can access any service without having to provide a password again. But unfortunately, when you replicate users instead of just using the same set of users, you basically are splitting this domain in two, and there is no real discussion between the Kerberos service. So services leaving one domain have to ask the password to the user because the Kerberos ticket the user has means nothing to them because it's not tied to the same Kerberos realm. So no single sign-on, and plus you have to do password synchronization, which is another pain point. So we tried the next thing. So what if we put SAMBID on your existing directory? And I think this image really shows the results. It can be done, you know, it's almost there. It's almost there, but it doesn't fit. Yeah, it's a classic square peg in a round hole. So we work on that. I had a colleague working on this problem for almost a year. We had done a lot of progress in having our directory server being kind of the data holder for the data for Samba 4. Through LDB has a very neat feature through which it can basically forward as a proxy all the requests to another LDAP server. And that was the idea. We take Samba 4, we put it on top of the LDAP server, and through LDB we proxy all the requests to the LDAP server. LDAP server will reply, and we are happy. Now, what is the problem? So the main problem is that if you're trying to put this on a pre-existing directory, the schema, the directory structure are completely different. So it's not a matter of just translating, you know, attribute names. You also have to find a way of translating the directory structure, because AD wants to see things in certain use, done a certain way, especially the clients, not much ID. And you don't have them sorted out that way, and moving them is not actually necessarily an option. The other problem is that AD had a lot more objects to store than what the regular pre-existing directory is aware of. A lot of information, the way they do partitioning of the directory, trust relationship, just to make it, to name a few, all the group policy data. There is literally a lot of information that has to go there. So if you can wipe out your directory and you can make it use the AD schema and you create everything from scratch, it almost works. There are still some things that are difficult to do. For example, because the LDAP protocol doesn't have any transaction capability outside of the server, doesn't provide transaction on the protocol, it means that over complex operations done within the Samba 4 server, there was no way to guarantee that if the whole operation failed, you were able to basically reset the status to a consistent status. Maybe you go through an operation that changes 10 objects, and you want it to fail and remove everything has done unless the full operation has gone through, unless all the 10 objects has been changed in the correct way. So if you have changed 5 objects and then the operation fail, the backend has no way to deal with that. And getting to a point where you can roll back from there, it's quite a big deal. It's very difficult to do. It's difficult to do because you're not dealing with just one server. You're dealing usually with a set of servers, a set of masters that keep replicating. So not only you have to remove the 5 objects there, you have to make sure they are removed from all the masters. So the replication can take some time. And if on the other side you have another Samba 4 server on top of another master, you may stay for a few minutes in an inconsistent state because, you know, a couple of objects were replicated, but not all of them. And this is a problem also when the operation goes through flawlessly. Because we don't have the transactions on the LDAP protocol, you also don't have transactions in the replication protocols. So you could have a replication hiccup, and on the other server you could see, you know, just 5 of the 10 objects change. So that others, although eventually the situation will normalize, for some time, the other server may be in an inconsistent state. And so, basically, almost there, but not quite. So, although we put a lot of effort in that, we had to start looking in other directions because it was taking too much time, and the time we were prospecting was literally growing exponentially. So, next step. Was what if we do just trust relationship? How many of you are familiar with Active Directory deployments? Very few people. Okay. So one of the things, I'm not sure how much popular it is, but one of the things that some deployed used to do. Was to create something called a resource domain. And what you do in a resource domain, you basically put all the machines in there so that administrator can manage just the machines, and you make a trust between the resource domain and your main domain where the users are, so that users through the trust can access the machines seamlessly. So the idea at that point was, what if we still use Samba, but instead of trying to be, you know, 101% compatible with EAD, we just use a trust relationship so that we have, we can do Kerberos between the two domains. Users on one side can access resources on the other side, but the Windows machines do not have to have perfect AD compatibility. And it turns out, in the first 3-4 months of the year, I've been doing a lot of research about, on trust relationship and the different kind of trust relationship that AD supports. And it turns out that at least for forest level trust and external trust, we can probably actually do it. I mentioned before that Windows 2000 can do MIT Kerberos trust relationship. Why that's not a very good idea? The problem is that when you use that kind of trust, you have to have a mapping from Kerberos realms to Windows users. So basically, you cannot have Unix users on your own side. It doesn't really work that way. And so it's kind of suboptimal. The other thing is that it doesn't generate a pack when you ask a Kerberos ticket for a machine that is in the MIT Kerberos realm when that kind of trust is built. So basically, on the other side, even though Samba understands pack, you wouldn't get a pack. So you have to have another way to basically connect to the trusted directory, not your own, to get user information. So this diagram shows basically a Kerberos view of a trust, and also point 4 and 5, we'll see later, an old NT domain level trust relationship. So when you have a user in one realm and you want to connect to a resource in the other realm, the so-called resource realm, what you do is that you try to get a ticket from your own KDC in the Windows case. The Windows server realizes that the resource you're asking a ticket for is actually in another realm, gives you back a cross-realm ticket, and tells you, go to the other KDC, please, to ask for to get a ticket. So the client goes to the other KDC, gets a ticket for the service, and at that point, it can access the server on the other side. In this case, probably a Samba server. The neat thing is that in the ID world, the KDC on the other side actually can manipulate the pack. By manipulating the pack contains information like the user seed and the group seeds for the user. So basically, it contains all the information to identify what you can do on a resource. And the KDC on the other side can also modify the pack and can add new information. So this is also something that would allow us, for example, to add new groups and have different set of groups for the same users in different domains, which was also a very nice feature. So yes, I described the difference between the Kerberos trust and the full external forest level trust. The difference is basically just the pack and the possibility to share user information this way. So what are the protocols required for a full AD trust? DNS, of course, you have to have DNS so you can find the actual servers, KDCs, and services. You have to have Kerberos 5, and possibly you want to support a pack. Now, if you just have users in the Windows domain and you want to access servers in the Unix on the Unix side, the pack is not strictly necessary because Unix services, except for Samba, do not know how to deal with the pack. But if you have it, you have a great advantage, and we will see later why. The other two protocols you really need are NetLogon and LSARPCs. These are two RPC pipes in Windows, and they are used to exchange information. The LSA pipe is basically used to do things at the trust level. It's used to do things like name to seed, seed to name mappings. So basically, I have a user identifier, I want to know the username. Or I have a username, I want to know what is the user identifier in the other domain. And this is pretty much what it's used for. It's also used to exchange some trust information between the two domains, but that's not really interesting. And the netlogon pipe is used when you want to get information about a specific user from the other directory, and also to support old-style NTLM logins. If we go back here, in case you cannot use Kerberos for some reasons, and there are a lot of places where Kerberos is kind of broken, either because the DNS doesn't work or you have other issues, Windows machines, if allowed to do so by the configuration, may try to access, still access the resource and try to authenticate using NTLM. In Samba, we support that. But when that happens, the server has to go to his own domain. In this case, it would not be the KDC, just the whole domain server. Use the netlogon protocol and ask, is the authentication for this valid? And do the challenge response protocol. And this has to be forwarded between the two domain controllers at the two sites, again over the netlogon, because the actual information for the user, the actual password, is in this domain. So the resource domain cannot actually fulfill the authentication. It has to forward stuff. Although if you're not interested in NTLM support, you can just forget about this last piece. And the last is CLDAP with a kind of a question mark. CLDAP is kind of fundamental if you want to join an actual Active Directory domain. And I've seen that it is used when you try to create a trust, but I've also seen that after that, it's not used anymore, because at least not the Windows machine do not use it to connect to the other service on the other side. They use it to connect to their own KDC. But it seems that they can't do without it. In any case, CLDAP is minor, and Samba has it, so you can use it. The only point is that CLDAP will have to access information in the directory, so you will have to provide some more information in the directory that allows you to reply LDAP, these kind of requests. So what it would look like? Basically, you have your own LDAP directory and your own KDC integrated together. DNS, whether it does DNS updates or whether it looks data on LDAP, is not really important in these cases. If you do that, it's better because it will be easier. You don't have to manage it manually. But the main piece is Samba down there. Samba will use the LDAP server to get users, machines, trust, credential, everything. And the KDC will use Samba to actually generate or validate the pack that come from the Windows side. And as I showed, they're not looking on LSA communication between Samba and AD. This picture looks like very clean, very simple. It's not. But we think that this is much easier than trying to map LDAP, trying to transform an existing directory so that it looks like AD. Because the amount of things you have to map between Samba LDAP and Samba and the KDC, when you don't have to provide exact, when it doesn't have to look like AD, are much easier. You can take shortcuts, you can transform objects just within Samba, just for the task you need, and you don't have to care if a Windows client would actually like the information or not, because you can prove that Samba likes it, and that's enough for you. So, are there still some problems in this case? There are still some problems. One of the problems is that you have to provide Unix machines with the actual users, because even when you log in using Samba and you want to access files, those files has to be owned by someone. And if the user comes from the other directory, you have to find a way so that the Unix machine can represent these users. So you will need something like WinBind to provide those users. Custom groups to manage foreign users, you have to find a way to store in your directory additional users connected to users in the other domain so you can manage access to resources on your own. And possibly beyond Samba, the ability to understand the pack for other services. So if you have Apache and you can understand the pack at the point, Apache doesn't have to go anywhere. It has all the information it needs to know who you are and what groups you're part of so that it can provide for access control. But these problems are much more manageable than trying to transform a directory on the fly. So we're confident. I think my time is almost up. So if you have any questions, maybe we take one or two now, and then I can reply later. Yeah, Krijal has a question.
So one thing, Simo, I think going one step beyond what you talked about is group policies, honoring group policies within Unix applications and the operating system. And I'd love to see an effort put in, particularly by the distro makers like Fedora, to have a tool that allows for components in the operating system, Apache, Firefox, all sorts of components, both user components and system components, to query group policy settings so that Linux machines are manageable via Active Directory group policies.
Okay. Yes, let me say something that probably I didn't make it very clear. So when we stopped considering putting Samba 4 on top of Free API or any directory, we stopped considering having Windows clients in our own domain. We made this consideration. If you really want Windows clients, you probably want to use either AD or Samba 4. Mm-hmm. And then have our own directory trust Samba 4. So basically, you have a pure Samba 4 domain, one side to manage Windows clients, and then you have Free API plus Samba bits to the trust relationship. That said, we also want to support joining Linux clients directly to the Samba 4 domain. Yeah. So yes, there is this need. We know that there is this need to be able to honor group policies somehow. Actually, Gunther has done some work last year and years before, and we just put this effort in on hold.
My
talk. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about that, Jim? Excellent.
Okay. Great. Okay. So Jim will talk about it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If there are no more questions, our next speaker is Tom Talpe from Microsoft Corporation, and he will talk about SMB2 Unix Extensions Protocol Initiative.